At the heart of our relationship to money is living and giving with gratitude. Whether the assets we have to give are monetary or our own capital of time and energy for the sake of the human family, as a result of aligning our money practices with the courageous vision we see for ourselves and our impact in the world, we end our series by looking for the hope that has been cultivated and the possibility that we will transform fear to gratitude in the act of sharing. In the end of the movie, It's a Wonderful Life is a joyful celebration of community and generosity. And George Bailey's thankfulness is infectious. George's brother Harry proclaims this.
A toast to my big brother George, the richest man in town.
And the angel Clarence, who had earlier declared,
"You see, George, you really have a wonderful life,"
shows up in the inscription in a book left on the big pile of money given to George by his community to help bail him out of trouble.
Remember, no one is a failure who has friends.
Indeed, Clarence the angel finally gets his wing. Whole community gathered in George's house looks on. A bell rings, a sign that the reverberations of generosity were being felt in heaven as on earth. The community of believers was one in heart and mind. None of them would say, "This is mine," about any of their possessions, but held everything in common. The apostles continued to bear powerful witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and an abundance of grace was at work among them all. There were no needy persons among them. Those who owned property or houses would sell them, bring the proceeds from the sales, and place them in the care and under the authority of the apostles. Then it was distributed to anyone who was in need. Thus end the reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I need the clicker. I didn't bring it. Or you can turn, or go ahead and turn it back on. There's some pics. There you go. Remember this comic from a few weeks ago? This is the last in the series from Marcia McPhee and the worship design team. We started by recognizing the anxiety and fear we have around money. Will there be enough? What's going to happen in the world to mess up our retirement plans? And when is the next recession going to hit? And are we really prepared? It's like being in the dark belly of a whale. And like this comic says, you know, these whale sounds aren't calming me down at all. We think that getting answers or trying to be prepared or be ready is going to calm us down, but that anxiety and the stress is still there. Those whale sounds don't calm us at all. We're reminded that God can shed light in the darkness and that we can find peace with God in the darkness. Then the next week we spent time reflecting on what our priorities are. What do we hope people say about us when we die at our funerals? For most of us, I believe it's about relationships. It's about how we took care of others or how others remember us fondly. I had a friend in seminary who had AIDS, and he was diagnosed right after we graduated, within a year of when we graduated. And when I went to see him the first time in D.C., he said, "You know, Bev, I always thought," now he was in his mid-20s, he said, "I always thought that if I knew I was going to die, I would travel the world, and I'd do this, and I'd do that." He says, but you know what I now know is really important? I want to spend time with friends and family. I don't care about the rest of it. That's how I want to spend the rest of my life, is with friends and family. See, when we really face those things, our lives become clearer. Our values become clearer. Last week, we asked ourselves, are we really living our core values? If what came out when we thought about what we would want people to say about us when we're dead, or what we would do if we knew we only had a limited amount of time, those are our core values. And how do we spend our time? Chasing the darkness of the whale or living our core values? If we live our core values, then we can find the energy and light in the darkness, and we truly live. So this week, we're looking at living on a basis of gratitude. A few weeks ago, Pastor Ryan talked about thanking God five times a day. I went, five? Inside. Five times a day as a spiritual practice. Have you tried it? I don't get five times a day. I'll tell you, I don't. But I try and find those times in my day where I stop to say thank you, God, for what's going on around me and within me. If I remember to thank God, it helps me to see the world differently. Instead of focusing on the darkness and the struggles, it helps me to focus on the light and the gifts. When I was laid up this summer from my broken ankle, I learned a lot about myself. And my friends, my good friends. I did my best to try and be grateful for all the help I was receiving. Even when some began to sound like my mother, telling me what I should do, what I should be doing, how this should be going, blah, 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 blah. I tried to swallow and say thank you. I tried responding with thankfulness. I really was thankful for all the care I was receiving. And I tried to focus on their needs rather than my needs. Especially for those who had given me shelter and a place to live that was easy for me with a broken ankle. It was easier to focus on their needs because I was trying to come from a place of gratitude. And I can tell you, it made it easier for me those weeks, and hopefully it made it a little easier for them, even when I may not have done what they told me I should be doing. Mr. Potter in the movie It's a Wonderful Life. You see very quickly in the movie that he's all focused on money. He's all focused on his own power, his own strength, and none of it is ever enough. The Bailey family are focused outward. I mean, that's why they started the savings and loan, was to care for those who couldn't qualify a loan from Mr. Potter, who was going to cheat him anyway. At his lowest point, George Bailey loses the ability to be generous. He loses the ability to see with thankfulness. And so he goes deep into himself and finds himself worthless. The angel Clarence helps him realize how his life should be focused on gratefulness. How his life of generosity to others brought blessings to them and to him. At the end of the movie, George begins, after he sees what the world would have been if he had never been alive, and it wasn't this rosy picture that he thought it would be, he begins to understand that his life has purpose. His life is not more of a pain for others, but a gift to others. He soon sees how grateful the whole town is for his life when he goes back home. And all these people are coming to bring him any, what financial resources they have so that he can pay off Mr. Potter, so that he doesn't get in trouble. George, throughout, because of all of his generosity throughout his life, touched so many people that the house was so full. They come giving what they can, but more importantly, they came with love and generosity and stories of how George had helped them. So I was thinking about this series and ending with gratitude, and also it being All Saints Day. Flips in. One of the most generous and thankful people I knew was Chuck Wrinkle. I personally miss Chuck sitting about right there where you are, Al, and shouting out, "Hallelujah," or "Preach it." I also miss that every week when he walked out those doors, he would stop and he would say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You know, Chuck loved, and he loved to encourage others, especially when they struggled. You knew if you talked to Chuck, you'd come away feeling better, because he just had that gift. He valued everyone. Now, he had a lot of things in his life that were hard. He knew loss. He knew discouragement. But Chuck was focused on thankfulness, on all the things he had to be thankful for. He was thankful that he still had children around, on that he had his friends who became like family. He was thankful for every kindness that someone did for him. And yes, Pam, he was thankful for you because you were here to care for him. Chuck was so grateful to God for his life, for his ministry, which I know wasn't always easy. Chuck was so thankful to God for the people he saw around him. And he was so thankful to God that in this congregation he could still have relationships with children, because he loved children so much. I almost thought about stepping on Ryan's toes and doing the children's sermon with Basket, Basket, Who Has the Basket? But I chose not to. May we, like Chuck, learn to live lives grateful to God in thanksgiving for others, for life, for love, for friendship, and for loving care. And living lives of thankfulness, may we learn where our true priorities are. May we learn and see the light of God's love, even when we feel like we're in the belly of a whale. Amen.